What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Amen. So who is that talking to? That's talking to us. That's talking to God's people. That's talking to Christians. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, who according to his working, the working of his mighty power, look at this, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places. Look what he says. I don't know if you caught it. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is working toward. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Return to Power. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Return to Power.
2 Kings chapter 6. And here we find a very interesting story in the Old Testament. In the life of Elisha, one of the prophets. You may remember that Elijah and Elisha were road dogs, and they were prophetic road dogs, and they traveled the countryside together preaching. But Elijah discipled Elisha, and one day Elijah was caught up into heaven in a whirlwind, and one request that Elisha had was to have a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And God granted that. If you go back and study out the Old Testament and you see, you count the number of miracles that Elijah did, you will see that Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elisha. And that God gave Elisha a double portion of the spirit that Elijah had. And as we look at this passage this morning, we see an indication of the spirit that was on Elisha, because Elisha went and he started a school. And he started this school for prophets. You remember we were talking a couple weeks ago about Samuel. And remember we said that when Samuel was coming up, that there was no prophetic word, that there was no word in the day of Samuel, that God was not speaking and giving revelation. Well, when Samuel came, and we realized that Elijah and Elisha came after Samuel, that God began to pour out his spirit on this prophetic office. And as a result of this, Elisha started a school, or he continued to work with the school for the prophets. And on one occasion, the school had gotten so big that they had to make an addition to the school. And that's when we pick up the story here in 2 Kings chapter 6. And it says, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto the Jordan, and take there every man a being, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So here they, the school had gotten too small. They were getting more and more prophets to come and be a part of the prophetic ministry. And the ministry is growing, and now the place is too small. So they're going to build a larger place. So they go down by the Jordan, and one of the servants asked Elisha to come with them. And he said, I'll go. And in verse 4, so he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. And as one was felling a beam or chopping a tree, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in there, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it up. Very interesting story. Now, I haven't had the opportunity to see an axe head float to the top of the river and begin to swim. But here in this particular story, we see that this is what happened. Now, many critics of the Old Testament would say, see, that's why the Word of God is not, or the Bible is not the Word of God. Because how in the world can you record stories about axes swimming? Well, you know, and how can you record stories about a fish eating a man? Well, you know, if it said in the Bible that a man ate a fish, I would believe it because it's the word of God. And so people have doubted and people have been skeptical of the, especially the Old Testament, because of stories like this in the Old Testament. But see, once again, they're missing a whole element of faith, that without faith it's impossible to please God. And that unless you have faith to believe that this is the word of God, you yourself might even doubt a story like this. But I believe that God has it in here for our admonition. And this morning we want to share with you from this particular story, and we want to deal with the whole idea of the return to power. The return to power. That there may be some of you here today that one day you had this power. You had victory over sin. You know, we sang the song this morning, Victory in Jesus. And there was a time maybe when you had the victory in Jesus. You had victory over sin in your life. You had victory in your marriage. You had victory in your finance. You had victory on your job. And now you've lost that power. You've lost that edge. Well, we want to come today to tell you that it can return, that you can have a return to power once again. God wants his folk to be a powerful folk. God wants his people to be a powerful people. And why is it that sometimes we walk around like wimps? We walk around like we're discouraged, we're defeated, always saying, how you doing this morning? Well, I'm doing all right under the circumstances. Well, you know what I'm going to say. What you doing under the circumstances? You ought to get some of this power of God in you and get over the circumstances, because that's where God wants you to be today. I'm talking about a return to power. As we look at this whole idea of a return to power, the first thing I want to say is that you have to realize that you have power. You got to realize that you have power. Look what it says in verse 4. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. They were chopping down trees. They were knocking down trees left and right. They had their axes, and they were wailing away at it. They were chopping away. And so this lets us know that at some point in time that these individuals had the power to be able to cut down the trees. Oh, and let me tell you this morning, God has given you power in your life to cut down trees in your life. God has given you power to cut down the tree of temptation. God has given you power in your life to cut down the tree of discouragement. God has given you power in your life to cut down the tree of sickness. Oh, I'm not saying that he might not allow you to go through some sickness, but while you're going through the sickness, it doesn't have to be a tree in your life. God has given you the power to chop it down. You're going to say, well, how do you know that, Pastor Glaze? You know, one of the most amazing verses in the whole Bible. Now, there's a lot of favorite verses, so I can't say that this is one of my favorite verses, but one of the most amazing verses in the whole Bible is found in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. If you would turn with me there to Ephesians chapter 1, one of the most amazing verses in the whole Bible. Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 19, it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? Amen. So who is that talking to? That's talking to us. That's talking to God's people. That's talking to Christians. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, who according to his working, the working of his mighty power, look at this, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places. Look what he says. I don't know if you caught it. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is working toward. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. We have the same power. You know, I'm not necessarily saying that we can raise up from the dead, but what he's saying is that the same power, and the Bible says that, you know, they asked the question, well, who raised Jesus? That was a big theological question at one time. Well, on three different occasions, it says on one occasion, the Father raised him. On another occasion, it said that the Spirit raised him. And then you know what, on another occasion, it said that Jesus raised himself. The whole Trinity was at work in the resurrection. And that same power is in us. Now, I can't figure out, why is it that we are not tapping into this power source? You know, why is it that we are walking around discouraged and defeated when we have the power of God that is available to us? You know, some of us are like the guy who went down to the store and he bought one of these gas saws. And he took it home and he was trying to cut a tree down. And it wouldn't cut the tree down. And he stayed there for 1 hour, 2 hours, trying to cut the tree. He couldn't even put a little dent in the tree. And he took the saw back to the man at the store. And he said, man, look, I'm giving you the saw back. This saw don't work. And the man said, well, sure, it's brand new. I don't understand why it wasn't working. He said, well, let me see if you can get it to work. And so he gave it to the store clerk. The store clerk took it, pulled the rope, and it went, rawr, rawr, rawr. And the man said, what's that noise? See, we got power. We got power, but sometimes we don't tap into the power of God and use it in our lives. Look at your notes this morning. It says in that first point, realize that you have the power. The believer has access to the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Now, I know that we're not trying to train you to be Greek scholars in here, and that's not my objective this morning. But the thing that I want you to see is that the word power in this verse is used four different Greek words. Four different Greek words. And what God is telling us that we have a multiplicity of power available to us. Now, I tried to put the number so that you could line it up with the word so that you can see what I'm trying to say here this morning. He says, first of all, and what is that the exceeding greatness of his power? The first word power comes from the word dunamis. And that's where y'all know. Somebody tell me what English word comes from that. Dynamite. Dynamite. He said, what is the exceeding dunamis? What is dynamite? Dynamite has the power to be destructive. Dynamite can blow up the side of a mountain. Dynamite can, you know, I don't know if you saw the implosion of Three River Stadium when it imploded, how that big massive structure came down, tumbled to the ground because of dynamite. And God said that you have a mighty power residing in you. You have the power to perform whatever it is that God has asked you to do. Whatever God is not going to ask you to do anything that he's not going to equip you to do it. If God asks you to do something, he's going to give you the power to do it. Oh, testimony after testimony that we could have from this congregation this morning of things that I thought that I never could do, but through the power of God. See, we limit ourselves. We shortchange ourselves, and we get this mindset that we can only go so far. You know, I told y'all the story about that piranha in that fish tank. And when they threw those guppies in there, that he ate up all the guppies. And then the next time they put the piranha in the fish tank and they put a little cylinder in there. And all he could do was swim around in that side, that cylinder. And they threw the guppies back in there and he tried to get those guppies. He tried to eat them. But every time he did, he bumped up against the cylinder. And then they took it out. And he was so conditioned that he couldn't get to those guppies that he didn't even try. They swam right in front of his face, right in front of his eyes, and he didn't even try to attack them because he was so conditioned. And sometimes God's people have been so conditioned that we can't do something. I don't know if I can do that. Well, you know, this is him. You know, I'm limited by this. I'm limited by that. You know, we need to get a different mindset. I was thinking, you know, we need to have the mindset of Curtis Mayfield when he said this. We're a winner. And never let anybody say you can't make it because a feeble mind is in your way. No more tears do we cry because we have finally dried our eyes and we're moving on up. Be like George Jefferson. He was moving on up to the east side, to that deluxe apartment in the sky. You see, that's the mindset. You know, we got to have the mindset of a winner. We got to have the mindset of somebody with power. Man, I see so many Christians who are defeated and who are discouraged and who just give in and they're just wasting all this good power that God
has made available. Man, power to live a victorious Christian life. In Acts 1:8, it says, and you shall receive power to be witnesses unto me. You're going to have power. And this power is available for you. The second word that he uses here is the word you'll notice in the notes today is the word working. He says, and what is that exceeding greatness of the power to usward who believe according to the working? Well, here we have another Greek word, and this Greek word is energeo. Now, somebody tell me, somebody say, oh, you know, you don't even have to have heard this before. What English word would come from that? Energy. Oh, man, you guys are Greek scholars. Sign them up. Give them degrees. Energy. He says that not only do you have the power to perform the task that God would call you to do, but you also have the energy that you have been energized by the Spirit of the Lord, and you have been empowered to live for the Lord. Look at, keep your finger in Philippians and turn over to Philippians real quick. I mean, keep your finger in Ephesians and turn over to Philippians real quick. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let me read that again. For it is God who works in you. That word works. Guess what word it is? Energeo. It is God who is energizing you both to do his will and to do of his good pleasure. You got the power to do it. You got the energy to do it. See, you know, God's people ought to be a fired up people. Now, I'm not saying everybody got to, you know, run around and be praising the Lord. That's not what I'm trying to say. But God's people ought to be an energetic people. You know, there ought to be, and when opportunities for ministry and opportunities for service come, you know, instead of us being a advertisement for an iodine bottle, or looking like a bulldog baptized in lemon juice, you know, there ought to be some energy that we exude to say, man, I got a zeal for God. You know, I got an energy for God. You know, at the end of the day when you get tired and it's easy, I know sometimes in the evening or when I have to teach, you know, I've had a long day, and especially if I've done a funeral or if I've been, you know, doing some things all day long and just been occupied. And you know, sometimes when it comes time to teach, man, it's just like I'm zapped, and I just don't have any strength, and somehow I just stop, and I just say, Lord, unless you help me, I can't. You know, I'm gonna drag through this thing. Lord, unless you help me, I'm just gonna go through the motions. And you know, somewhere along the way, you know, especially like on a Wednesday night, I'll just sit up there while somebody else is praying, you know, just kind of out of it and trying to tune into the prayer. And somewhere along the line, that energy comes. And God just gives me the energy to stand up and to tell my corny jokes. And the reason I tell my corny jokes, you know I'm energized then. You know I'm fired up. Now I get fired up about the word of God. Like I told the people on Wednesday night, you heard about the lady who was going blind. And she had raised all of her children, and they had been very successful. And as she had raised them, they all, you know, made a lot of money. And so the first son, he wanted to do something for his mom. He said, I'm going to buy her a house. So he bought his mom a house. The second one said, I want to do something for mom. He said, I'm going to put a theater in the house. So he put a theater in the house. The third one wanted to do something, so he bought her a Mercedes. And the fourth one said, look, you know, I'm going to do something very special. I know mom loves the word of God, and I know she's going blind, having a hard time reading. And he heard about this parrot that 20 preachers over 12 years had trained and taught this parrot the word of God. So all you had to do was just quote or say the chapter and the book and the verse, and the parrot would quote it. And he bought it from this preacher, and the preacher said, look, I'll sell it to you on one condition, and that is that you pay me $100,000 over the next 6 years because this parrot is very valuable. And the guy, you know, he wanted to do it for his mom, so he had no problem. He had no problem doing that. So the mom got all the gifts and used them, and she wrote all of her son's thank you notes. The first one she wrote, she said, I want to thank you for this big house. And even though I only live in one room, I got to clean the rest of them. She wrote the second one, the thank you note. I just want to thank you for this theater, even though all my friends are dead and can't come to watch any movies. She said to the third one, she said, I want to thank you for this car, even though I can't see, I can't drive it, I just want to thank you for it. And she wrote a thank you note to the fourth one. She said, you know, I just want to thank you for this gift because out of all my sons, this was the most practical one of all. And that fried chicken sure was good. I'm energized. Yeah. We got some energy up in here. See, you know, God's people, man, you got to be energetic. You know, God has given you power. God has given you energy. You know, we walk around and present the word of God like it's a burden. And man, you got to be excited and have some energy about this thing. You know, he has given us dunamis. He has given us energy. And the third word, he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of the word mighty, which is the Greek word kratos, which means the overcoming power, which is translated dominion. You know, God has given you authority. He has given you authority to take a stand over the things of darkness. He has given you authority to take over Satan and all of his kingdom. Oh, now once again, I want to point it out that we are not more powerful than Satan. We can't overcome Satan in and of ourselves. But if we reside in the power of God, we have dominion over Satan. Because remember now, the devil cannot do anything that God does not allow him to do. And the other thing that I want to say, and I know this theology might not square with all of us, but it's a fact, and that is that you cannot be possessed by evil spirit if you got the Holy Spirit. You can't have two spirits living inside of you. So we already know that the Holy Spirit is greater than the spirit of Satan because the Holy Spirit is God. So now, what do I have to fear? The psalmist said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who you got God in you. You got God on you. You got God under you, behind you, in front of you, around you, above you. You can't go wrong. You got nothing but power. So, you know, we got to start living this resurrected life. You know, we got to start tapping into the resources that God has made available for us to live this Christian life. Instead of walking around discouraged and defeated, you know, we have a mighty power, dunamis. We have energizing power, energeo. We've got dominion power, kratos. And then we see that we have ichthus, which is God's enabling strength endowed upon believers. You know, the word mighty power. So what is my point as we look at that right there? He says that this power is where? Toward us. The power is toward us. Now, if that don't make you shout something, you know, your shouter is broke. You know, the power is toward us. And what is the power that's toward us? Dunamis, energeo, kratos, and ichthus. That's the power that we have.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part one of Return to Power. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, part one of Return to Power, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part one of Return to Power. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part one of Return to Power, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.